Welcome to C3. We are thrilled that you're here this morning. We are wrapping up the series called Risky Business, and we're talking about faith, because often faith can feel risky. Often it can feel like it's just a roll of the dice, or just sort of like, okay, God, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. Does it really matter how I live? Does it really matter how I pray? Does it really matter what I believe? Does that translate in life in some way? Does faith really matter? Or is it just a risk? And so if you've not been with us in this series, if today is your first time at C3, or maybe you're part of C3, you haven't been a while, you're back this morning, to bring you up to speed, what we've talked about is the fact that faith is the confidence that God is who he says he is and will do what he's promised to do. And this morning, as we wrap it up, I want to ask the question, what does big faith look like? Because maybe you're at a place in your life where what you're facing, what you're processing, the things you're dealing with, it's going to need some big faith. What does big faith look like? What does the kind of faith that changes things look like? And I think the primary example of big faith has to be Jesus. I mean, when you look at the life of Jesus, he had huge faith. We know he had the kind of faith that God used to heal people. We know there were miracles performed. We know he had the kind of faith that when he spoke, it was so profound that it had the ability to change lives, and yet so simple that even a child could understand it. There was a uniqueness to Jesus. He had this huge faith in his life, so much faith that as the Son of God, he was willing to go to the cross and give his life for you and for me, to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. So big faith, if you look at the life of Jesus, came through big surrender. Great faith equals great surrender. He seemed to live this yielded life where he would just do what the Father wanted him to do. He would say what the Father wanted him to say. He had great faith, but there was this great surrender. Now, I understand that the natural pushback to that is, yeah, but he was Jesus. And I'm not. Hopefully you think you're not. If you think you're Jesus, I can't help you. But he had this huge faith. But how, think about this, how cruel would God have to be to say, hey, here's the example of how to live life. I'm going to send my son to earth. Here's what it looks like to navigate conflict. Here's what it looks like to forgive people. Here's what it looks like to love people. I'm going to show you how to live like that, but it's impossible for you. How cruel would that be? Perhaps you and I could live a bigger faith than we often live. Perhaps faith could have more traction in your life and mine than we've allowed it to have. Perhaps faith is more than just hoping God will in areas that we want him to do something. Perhaps faith, big faith, is more than just about me. So this morning, I want to look at a few verses, and because we're looking at several, I want to make you aware of something that you may find helpful. There's an app you can get for your cell phone called YouVersion, and this app, if you have a smartphone, I would encourage you to download this. If you have a dumb phone, I can't help you, but if you have a smartphone, download this app, and here's why. The YouVersion app, you just find that, search for it, download it. If you search for 32828, the zip code, or if you have location turned on your phone, it will find C3 Church under live events, and every verse we're going to look at, it's right there. And not only will you have it today, you'll have it throughout the week. So if on Tuesday you're thinking, hey, what was that verse he talked about? And by the way, we use this every week. And so maybe, hey, what did he say God said about peace? What did he say about knowing? What was that verse? You've got it all week long. So this is a great app. It also has devotionals in it that you can dive into if you wanted to read a devotional for a few days about marriage or a few days about doubt or whatever it is. Those are all packed in there, and it's free. And so this morning, we're hitting several verses. I wanted you to be aware of that. If you don't have it, that's fine. They'll be on the screen, but this is a great, great app. Another thing that's awesome is it has a verse of the day every day. And so my habit, when I open my eyes, I grab my cell phone just like you do. But the first thing I look at, rather than looking at social media and seeing what people are saying, because man, especially during a political season, social media feels like a race to the bottom. Rather than dealing with all that, you can look at the verse of the day and say, okay, God, use this in my life today. It's a great app. But whether you've got that or you're just going to look at the screens, John chapter 5, John was a disciple of Jesus. He lived with Jesus, so he wrote what we call the Gospel of John. Then he also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and so we're going to look at that as well, a letter that he wrote to some Christ followers. He also wrote Revelation. We're not looking at that this morning. Some of you are grateful for that. But John wrote the Gospel of John. By myself, he says, now this is Jesus talking, by myself I can do nothing. Wait, Jesus. Listen. Do you really want to be that hard on yourself? By yourself, you can do it. Come on, Jesus. If you say you can't do anything, then you won't be able to do anything. You need to be more self-realized and self-actualized. You need to kind of puff up your self-esteem. What do you mean? By yourself, you can do nothing. But he says, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Great faith is great surrender. I'm not here living life selfishly. I want to be selfless. I'm not here just for me. So when it comes to my faith, it's not just about, God, what can you do for me? I want to fully surrender where God can use me in the lives of other people. So I don't seek to please myself. I seek to please him who sent me. Then in John chapter 12, we read, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded to say all that I've spoken. Wait, Jesus, you didn't have anything you wanted to say separate from that? You didn't have anything. I mean, you're Jesus. Look at your name badge, Jesus. You've got nothing to offer? You're just here to say what the Father says to say? Yeah, I came to do the will of the Father, and I came to say what the Father wants me to say. Verse 50, I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. You mean as you roll through your day, as you interact with people, all loved deeply by the Father, what you're going to say and what you're going to bring to the relationship and how you're going to function is based on what the Father wants you to do and what the Father wants you to say. Yeah. Then John chapter 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Every approach, every perspective is not my will, but the Father's will. As he looked at faith, his faith was not, God, can I get you to do my will? His faith was, God, I want to be a part of your will. Is your faith built on a self-serving philosophy? Do you believe in God and trust God and hope that it's all real for what God's going to do for you? Or do you trust in God and believe in God and trust that it's all real because God's going to do something for you as he works through you to impact the lives of others? Is the end game of your faith how big God can be in your life? Or is it how big God can be through your life? In verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will, there it is again. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So Jesus, you're the Son of God, and you came to earth, and all that you're about is to do the will of the Father and say what the Father would have you say. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So if you and I brought that kind of surrender into our lives, what would change? If you're married and your approach was not, God, listen, you need to fix her because nobody can help her. I've taken her to 37 counselors. I've read 12 books. I've talked to other people about her. I've had them talk to her. If you could just fix, how's that working for you? What if your approach was, hey, God, what is your will? How do you want me to function as a husband today? God, how do you want me to function as a wife today? God, how... what is your will as I parent the kids that you've given me that are a gift from you, although some days one or two of them don't feel like it, they're a gift from you. God, how do you want me to navigate this difficult season with this kid who I've done everything I know to do? God, I'm out of options. I'm not sure what to do. What is your will? God, what is your will at the office? Because there are some difficult people that I work. Does anybody work with difficult people? I've read about it. I don't. I've read about it. God, what is your will as I interact with difficult people? Because I have an understanding as a follower of Jesus that even difficult people are just as loved by you as I am. So what would you have me do today? God, what would you have me say to this person who always has that attitude? God, what is your will when it comes to how I navigate my financial life, how I look at my career path? Do you make a majority of the decisions you make when it comes to your marriage, or if you're not married, your dating life, or if you're not dating, your day-to-day life? Do you make decisions when it comes to your relationships, your finances, your career? Are you at the center, and how it benefits you, at the center of every decision you make? When you go to your knees and you communicate with God, or however you pray, whatever that looks like for you, are you constantly reminding God, hey, you promised? Or is your approach, hey, God, what's next? What's your will for my life on this day, in this situation? What would you have me say? John chapter 14, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father. There it is again. Great faith is a result of great surrender. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, this makes sense to you, whether you're a follower of Christ or not. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christ follower, you get this. And it's one of the things that is so obvious to you. In fact, it may be one of the things that causes you to kind of hesitate in committing your life to Christ, because you know people who have committed their lives to Christ, and it would make sense to you that if you've given your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God is living inside you, it should change how you act and think. But you know people, and I know people, that it doesn't. I mean, doesn't it make sense that if the Spirit of God lives inside you, it should change? Well, you know me. I just say it like it is. That's just who I am. I say it like it is. Well, everybody's asking me to tell you to shut the fat up. They don't want to hear what you have to say about anything. That's not an excuse. You heard people like, that's just me. It's just my person. No. If you've met the living God, it's supposed to change you. It's supposed to change how you think, how you act. It's supposed to change your attitude. Other people are not on planet Earth to help you have a good life. Your spouse is not there so that their entire purpose is to just make you happy every day. Your kids are not there to perform the way you'd like them to perform so that you look better as a human being. It's not just about you. But in our striving to find purpose, in our chasing of peace, in our desire for happiness, we set the stage of life and we try to control all of our relationships and all of our decisions so that we end up on top, missing the entire purpose for which you were created and never finding or achieving the things you're looking for and the things you so desperately want. We in our culture, in our church culture, struggle with surrender. Because you think and I think, if I really surrender my life, then I'm going to have to give up control. And in certain areas, man, there are things that I want from God. I want the blessings of God. When this life is over, that whole heaven and hell thing, I want heaven. There are things we want from God, but there are other areas of our life that we don't invite God. We kind of function with God in a backpack. Hey, God, you need to know, I'm going to carry you where I need you to go, but this weekend I have some plans, and so I'm going to ask you to stay put. I don't want you to go. Actually, you know what? There's an airplane ride. I want you on the plane with me, But when I get, because I'm going to be 35,000 feet above ground and I'm not in control, so I'm going to want you with me and I'm going to pray for traveling mercies, whatever. All that means is we don't hit too many bumps and we don't crash and I don't puke and everything's fine. I want you on the flight. But then when I get there, I'm going to kind of put you in the closet for a little while, but I'm going to need to pull you back out on the plane ride home because I need you to be with me. You're backpack God. I'm only going to invite you into the areas of my life where I need your help. And so Aunt Mary got sick, and God, I'm going to need you to come out, and I need you to heal Aunt Mary. So I need you to, how do I get you to come out? You want a cookie? How do I get you to come out? But I need to make sure, if I just believe more and more, if I just pray a lot, if I memorize some verses, will you please come out and heal Aunt Mary? Now listen, understand, when you come out, I'm not inviting you into any other area of my life. I just want you to run this one errand I have for you and take care of Aunt Mary. If you were God, how offended would you be? I don't really want to surrender my life to you. I just want to put you on when I need you. But then there are other areas of my life. I'll give you an example. God, I'm going to ask you to bless my relationship. I have found the one. And God, it's frustrating because it doesn't feel like you're blessing the relationship. And there seem to be a lot of issues that we're navigating and we're fighting a lot and we're arguing. It's tense and there's some things we're going through. I don't know if we're going to make it. God, would you please bless this relationship? All the while, in some cases, people who pray that prayer, ignoring things that God has said, and you're living together and you're having sex with someone you're not married to. If you were God, how would you feel if you were called old-fashioned and not relevant? Doesn't really matter. It's astounding to me, the people who get angry with God because they don't invite him into every area of their life. He just won't perform in the one area they want him to jump up and perform. So they're mad at him. There's this backpack guy. I can ignore the words of God, who is the creator, who is the one who says, this is how you have the best life. This is how you discover joy. This is where you find peace. This is how you experience fulfillment and purpose in life. This, I've laid it out. Listen, God did that because he doesn't want us to miss it. He loves you. He wants you to experience the best. But when you set him aside and cram him in a backpack and don't take him into other areas of your life, you're going to miss what he has for you, all the while thinking you're achieving something you really want. Yet you're missing it. And then what happens? We keep God in a backpack, and then we die. And then we meet the real God. And he looks at us and says, what you got in the backpack? I didn't know that was coming. I thought we left everything behind. I didn't know that would be with me. How insulted would you be if you were the Father and someone only loved you, trusted in you, believed in you, when you performed in two or three areas of their life that they really want you in, but they ignored you in the other areas? Would you feel loved? Would you feel worshiped? And why would I even say something like that? Because in the life of C3, we want to be very transparent. And we want to be authentic to what Scripture teaches. And even if I don't know you, you're going to live here one time. And I don't want you to miss what God wants for your life. But when you limit God, when you have an approach to God that you'll commit to one or two things, but you don't really surrender your life, you're going to miss the life he created you to live. So when it comes to your relationships, are you doing the will of the Father, or are you doing your will? And which one do you think gets a better result? Or there are those who say, man, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. I trust God. I believe in Jesus. And yet the whole concept, I'm going to talk about money for a second. So listen, I understand some people are like, there you go, he's talking about money. Maybe it's your first time. Oh, every church talks about money. Well, hopefully we talk about it a little bit different way, but why would we talk about money? Because it's something that is on your mind and my mind every single day. Did you know Jesus talked more about money and stuff than the Lord's Supper and baptism and prayer combined? Because he understands we deal in real life. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, please hear this. If you are a Christ, if you're not a Christ follower, you don't have to listen. In fact, I would encourage you not to listen for about the next 2 minutes. Just don't even pay attention. Do whatever you want to do. Think about stuff like the Cowboys are probably going to win again today. Think about whatever you want to think about. But if you're a follower of Christ, did you know that the scripture says that if you don't bring the first 10% of your income to the local church, you are robbing God? Now, you can dismiss that however you want. You can rationalize it away however you want. But listen, how would you feel about you if you were God? And if you're trusting him, if you say, man, I trust you to get me to heaven. I trust you. I'm a follower of Jesus. I trust you when this life is over to get me to heaven. But you can't trust him to get you to your next paycheck? Does that make any sense to you? Why would I say that? Because I woke up today and I thought, man, when I get to C3, how can I offend the most amount of people possible? No. Because I love you enough to say, hey, you're missing. If you're a follower of Jesus, do you know what that implies? It implies you follow the teachings of Jesus. And when you limit God in areas of your life, you limit what God can do in those areas. And I don't want you to miss what God could do. If you think I have ulterior motives, then please find a church where you trust the pastor and you can bring the 10% to that church, because this is really not about C3. God is going to fund the vision here. This is about what I want for your life, not about what I want from you. I don't want you to miss what God wants to do in your life. So Jesus lays all of this out. Great faith. Man, I wish I had more faith financially. Great faith. Man, I wish I had more faith in my relationships. Great faith comes with great surrender. And then Jesus says some verses that we like. John chapter 14, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And there are people that kind of get puffed up with that. We're going to do even greater things. We can do even greater things. No, listen, it's in the context of what he's been talking about. When you read the scriptures, you have to take it in context. You can't pick and choose different verses to build a belief system. That's not good theology. That's not biblical. Because I can show you one verse that says Judas went and hanged himself. I can show you another verse that says do the same thing quickly. If you put those together, you're in trouble. Don't do that. Read verses in context. So the context of, hey, he's going to do even greater things in your life is in the context of talking about submitting and yielding to the will of the Father. It's talking about surrender. So what it literally means is, as you yield your life and surrender your life to the Father, it's not really about what you're going to do. It's about what he's going to do through you as a conduit to impact other lives. Jesus, with all of the faith he had, being perfect even though he was fully human, Jesus never once used his faith for his own advantage. It was always for others. It was always to benefit and impact others. Now, God knows as we live that way, something very special is going to happen in our lives as well. Then there's the other verse that some of us love. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Oh, that's a good one. I will do whatever you ask in my name. So you've got the picture of her on your bathroom mirror, and God, I'm asking, she'll fall in love with me. And I'm believing. You said you'd do whatever I ask. Stop it. You're being a stalker. Stop it. Or you've got the picture of the new car that you really want. God, you said you'd do whatever I ask, whatever. Yeah, Jesus, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Yay, Jesus! Nobody sitting around the campfire that night, none of the disciples, thought that's what Jesus meant when he said that, because it was in the context of surrender. It was in the context of yielding your life to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is the confidence we have, 1 John 5, in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to His will. The will of the Father is a big deal to the Father. You and I surrendering our lives is a big deal to God. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So how would you finish this statement? I'm not inviting you into every area of my life. I just want you to, do you have the kind of backpack God faith? Were there areas that you have limited God? You can't go there. I just want you to come out when I need you. I'm not inviting you into every area of my life. I just want you to... See, to follow Jesus is surrender. It's surrender. Here's what that looks like. As I pop on the YouVersion app each day, and read a devotional, or if I read the pages of Scripture, when I come across something in the Scripture that looks very different than how I'm actually living my life, when I come across something in the Scriptures that looks very different than how I'm actually thinking, I can ignore it and miss what God wants to do in my life, or I can surrender and say, hey, God, this right here, it's so hard for me. Jesus, you tell me to forgive. And some people, that's one of the hardest things in the world to do. Some people don't deserve to be forgiven, God. See, somebody hurt you, betrayed you, stabbed you in the back, wronged you. Somebody blew your world up. And then part of why you struggle is because some church somewhere, some well-meaning pastor somewhere said, hey, well, if you forgive, it means this. Forgiveness has nothing to do with reconciliation. Forgiveness does not mean you put yourself back in that scenario. Forgiveness just means, God, with your help, I'm not going to hold this against them anymore. You've forgiven me, and so I want to be a person who forgives. See, when you surrender that area of your life, as you get older, you get kinder. You don't lock yourself in the prison of hate because you can't let something go. I know it hurt, but the only way that it hurts you more is if you don't forgive. So is that an area that you need to surrender? God's not discounting the pain that you felt. He's just saying, hey, my will is for something better for your future, and I don't want you to miss it. And as you forgive in that scenario, the people who know you are watching you, and there'll be a kind of grace that you have, and it'll impact their lives. What if too much has happened? What if you hear this message and you think, you know what? I've already blown it in so many areas of my life. There have been so many occasions where I put God in a backpack and I didn't surrender, and the choices I made, I'm now living the consequences of those choices. I'm now living the result. And there's just so much. I don't think this would work for me. Listen, broken people call His name and He answers. In fact, I believe the Scripture teaches the more broken you are, the more the Father is drawn to you. You think about the thief that died next to Jesus on the cross, and all he said was, remember me this day. He was broken. He'd messed up in his life. You know what Jesus didn't say? Well, after you straighten up, we'll talk about it. After you go make some things right, I'll fix you. No. He just had moments left. And Jesus looked at him and said, with the kind of love that only God could have, today you'll be with me. All that's taken care of. It's not too late for you. Maybe part of the reason you're here today, it's not because I'm here, it's not for any other reason than God wanted to say to your heart, hey, this is available to you. If you'll just surrender that area, that thing, where do I start? How do I know what to do? The thing that's the hardest for you to surrender, start there. The area where it's the hardest for you to trust God, begin there. And it's just a day-by-day thing of God today. Father, this morning, I submit my life to your will. In my marriage, as it relates to my kids, or as it relates to my parents, in my relationships. Father, today, I submit myself to your will. Today is not about me having the kind of faith that tries to get you to do what I want you to do. This is about me wanting to do what you desire for my life today. When it comes to my finances, in my career, as I interact with people, Father, I surrender to you. Use me today. Speak through me today. God, would you love other people today through me? Even people that I've personally thought are unlovable. Today, would you love them through me? Because surrender is where peace lives. Surrender is where you find peace. So what does surrender look like for you? Or maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, I've been doing that and I don't think it works. You know you're not perfect, but there's no area of your life that you can look at that you would say, man, I've crammed God in a backpack and I've said, God, you can't go there. As best I can, some days I mess up, but as best I know how, I've invited God into every area of my life and I don't always get it right. I mess up on a regular basis, but my default position is, God, I trust you and I want you to work in my life, and I've been doing that and it feels like my faith isn't working. It feels like it doesn't matter. I've tried to trust when other people would have given up by now. I've tried to hold on to my faith, and it just feels like it's not making any difference at all. This week, I heard a fighter pilot say that every single time planes take off, they take off into the headwinds because it's the resistance that makes you rise. Just because there are obstacles, just because there are struggles, just because you're facing resistance does not mean that God is not with you. It is often through the struggle and the resistance that God will elevate your life to another level if you will continue to hold on to your faith, if you will continue to trust. How meaningless would faith be if it were always easy, if it only mattered when there was no resistance, if it only worked when there were no obstacles? The essence of faith is being able to trust that God and have confidence that God is who He says He is and will do what He's promised to do even in the moments it doesn't look like it. So maybe for you today, God just wanted to whisper to your heart, I'm aware. I know. Hold on. The only way the plane doesn't make it off the runway is if it slows down or stops. You continue to press forward in submitting your life to the will of the Father every day. In asking God, God, what would you have me say in these scenarios? You continue to live a life of faith. And God will do in you and through you beyond anything you can imagine. And when you hold on to faith, you don't miss what He has for your future. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I pray for every single person in this room this morning. For men, for women, for young people, for married adults, for single adults, for teenagers, for older children. Father, sometimes faith feels impossible. But I pray that as we walk through this week, you would help us to lean into our faith. Father, if there are areas in our lives that we need to surrender to you, to your will, I pray that we would have the courage to do that. Father, I don't want anyone in this room to miss what you want to do in their lives, in their families, in their future. So even in the face of resistance, I pray that we would trust you so that we can rise to that level of peace and purpose, the place where you want to take us, where our lives can be a conduit of your love and your purpose to the lives of those around us. God, help us to live lives that glorify and honor you. Lives where we're on mission for you each and every day as we lock eyes with other people throughout this week. Father, whether they're nice or difficult, remind us that they are deeply loved by you and they matter to you. Because of that, help us to love them and help them to matter to us. Father, for those who are hurting, for those who are struggling, for those that this concept feels challenging or overwhelming or impossible, I pray for your comfort. I pray for your encouragement. You don't ask us to do anything that is impossible. That would be cruel. You know that in our greatest weakness, it's the opportunity for you to show your greatest strength. So for that, we love you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you know that in your life, your next step is to commit your life to Christ. You know that's what you need to do. You need to surrender your life to Christ. Honestly, to me, when you think about how loving God is and the fact that he sent his son for you and for me, the only natural response, the only reasonable response to that kind of love is for me to surrender my life to him. If that's where you are today, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and maybe you want to pray out loud or maybe you just want to pray in the quietness of your heart. But if that's where you are, you just say, "Dear God, today, as best I know how, I commit my life to you. I surrender to you. I invite you to be my personal Lord. Please forgive me of my sin and help me to live for you. Thank you for loving me. In Christ's name, amen."